It's lovely to see you all out. It's a lovely summerish day. We're going to open up with our first proper hymn, which is 10,000 Reasons. I know there's no number for it, so it's not again, but I think we'll be fine with everything on the screen again. So we could stand and sing, please. Thank you. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you for this week that we've had, Lord. We want to thank you for this day especially, Lord. We want to thank you just for so much. We want to thank you for sending your Son to die for us, Lord, and where he shed his blood on the cross for us, Lord, that through that we could be saved, Lord. We want to thank you for the activities during the week, Lord. We want to thank you for the four-day clubs and Kiva, Lord, who came to know you, Lord. I just want to pray that you will hold her in the palm of your hand, Lord, and just strengthen her, Lord, and her household, Lord, and just pray that there will be a spark of revival, Lord, in that area. We want to thank you for the word that we received this morning, Lord, and we want to thank you for the children who all did so well, Lord, and just they sang out so well. Lord, I want to pray as well for tonight, just that And if Andrew brings a message to us, Lord, that just that will be you completely, Lord, who we hear, Lord, and just that we will learn from you, Lord, and it won't be a voice of a man, Lord, but it will be your voice itself, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for everything you do for us, Lord, just for the continued good dweller that we receive in this company, Lord. We ask all this in your holy and worthy name. Amen. I'm going to invite the youth choir up now to sing two pieces, but we're just going straight in between them. So that's "O Praise the Name" and "Christ is Mine."
Cast my mind.
Thank you once again, Salt Choir. Isn't it amazing? Isn't that their first part we're singing, that when he returns in robes of white and the blazing sun shall split the sky? But we're just so happy just to say that all of us here in the Salt Choir, whenever that comes, that day comes, and we're to look forward to it, but when that day comes, that we will all be raised with him. So we will, and we will all go to the sky with him. So we're going to start into our second hymn, which is Mighty to Save. Once again, it's not in the book. So we'll stand to sing this piece. Singing. I'm going to invite the Salt Choir up again for our last two pieces, which are What a Beautiful Name and For the Love of My King. Thank you very much, Insult Choir. Can I invite Andrew up now to speak, please? Thank you.
Well, good evening. It's good to be along with you and to join with you in this special youth service this evening, and to the opportunity to share something from the Word of God. It's been great to listen to the choir, and as they've been singing these lovely pieces tonight, exalting our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps we'll just still ourselves for a moment before we come to just look at the Word of God this evening. Let's pray together. Father, we do just thank you for the tremendous privilege we have of being in a service like this on a Sunday evening. And we do thank you for these young people who've been ministering to us in song and music tonight, and for their leaders and all who put work and effort into just working with them and all that goes on in this place. And we do pray your blessing upon them. We thank you, Lord God, for each one who's gathered in this evening. And Lord, you have us here for a reason. You have us here for a purpose. And by your Holy Spirit, that you want to speak into our hearts and into our lives. And so, Lord, I pray that you would indeed just have your way in our midst tonight, Lord. Father, that we would, for our part, be attentive, that we would be listening to what you have to say to us, and that we would hear the Word of God speaking into our hearts and into our lives this evening. Just come and move amongst us. Have your own way and work amongst us, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As I was preparing and thinking about this gathering here this evening, I was thinking, well, it doesn't seem like that long since I was your age and standing in the front of a church a little similar like that, but there was a big difference. I was never able to sing like that, but that was tremendous altogether. And I was thinking about the fact that, and some of you folks who are just a little bit older will know this so well, that it's not long from you're this stage till you're this stage till you're another stage, and life can pass by so quickly, can't it? Just after Easter, I had an elderly uncle passed away. He was only less than a month over reaching his 100th birthday, and he had been looking forward to it for the last good number of years, but he never made it that far. And though he had lived over those nearly 100 years, as I was with him a little towards the end of life, I was thinking for him, it probably didn't seem like a very long time. And the Bible teaches us that. Teaches us that our lives are like grass. They grow up, they die, they wither, and that's it. And that's why it is so important in life's journey. So important, particularly at this younger age, but at every stage, to be sure that we know why we're here. We know what the purpose of life is all about. I was thinking of some of the tremendous inventions that have been made down through the ages, and we couldn't get too far without the telephone. And this is the very first sort of practical telephone that was ever made by Alexander Graham Bell. And one of the things I was thinking about as I looked at this, you know, Alexander Graham Bell didn't just sit down someday in his workshop and take a bit of this and a bit of that and a bit of something else and thought, wonder what will happen if I stick this here and stick that there and put this together. No, here was a man on a mission, a man who was seeking to do something. He was seeking to invent something that would transmit his voice to other people. He knew what he was doing, and he had a design in mind, he had a mission in mind, and he was making something that had a purpose. Here's another tremendous invention that many of us use every day. I wonder, do you recognize what it is? This is the very first programmable computer. It was made by a man by the name of Conrad Zuse around about 1936 to 38. And again, this man didn't just randomly begin to put switches and stuff together and come up with something and say, I think I'll call it a computer. He was a designer. He knew what he was doing. He was an intelligent man, and he had a goal, a purpose, and he worked and put together this computer. Here's another wonderful thing that has been created. I wonder, do you know what this is? Young people, you and me. And we are made by God, our Creator. I don't mean to be irreverent, but I want to put it like this. God wasn't bored one day. God wasn't in the eternity of ages and thinking, well, what'll I do today? Oh, maybe I'll make something. What could I make? I'll make a man. No. God had a design. And God had a purpose. And God had a plan. And God made man. God made you. Each of you sitting here in this gathering tonight. And He made you for a reason. He made you to become like Him. And that is why He made us in the image of God. We read right in the very first chapter of the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 1, I'm just going to read a couple of verses here tonight in verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Amen. It was planned. It was intentional. God made man for a purpose. For a purpose. I wonder if you ever thought, what is my purpose in life? Why am I here? What is it all about? You know, sometimes we can be very quick to ask younger children, well, what do you want to do in life? What do you want to be when you grow up? But have you ever stopped to think about, why am I here? What is my purpose in life? Can I say, you're not here by chance. Neither on this planet Earth at this particular time, or even in this service this evening. You're not here by chance. The Bible teaches us in the book of Ecclesiastes, it says there's a time to be born and a time to die. And you have been born. This is your time. This is your time in all of history, going back as far as we can and whatever is left of it, looking into the future. God has given you this time. This is your window of history, however short or however long that might be. God has you here, and He has you here for a purpose. Your life matters. Your life has great significance. One of the things that just struck me again as I read these verses in verse 27, it says, "Male and female created He them." Doesn't matter who we are tonight. Male, female, He has created you in His image with a plan and with a purpose. Both are of equal value to God. Now, why do I stress that tonight? Because over this past year, there's a new word you might have learned. I may not even pronounce it right. Misogyny. Misogyny. And we hear it on our news again and again. And anyone who seeks to take a stand for the Christian faith, it'll not be long, particularly if they're a man, before they'll be accused of being a misogynist. Someone who puts women down. But here we see, right at the beginning of our Bible, that God doesn't put women down. God says, "Male and female created He them." And you are of equal importance in the eyes of Almighty God. But we know what happened just a little later after we read these verses. The fall of man. Man disobeyed God. Adam and Eve disobeyed God. And sin entered into this world. And that image of God was lost. Because Adam and Eve chose to disobey God, there were fatal consequences. With sin came death. With sin came sickness. With sin came all that we see wrong in our world today. And that's why so many people are drifting and depressed and don't know why they're here. Don't know what their purpose is. Don't know what the meaning of life is. We could label the vast majority of people with one simple little word. Lost. They are lost. They're searching and grappling and they're asking why and they're trying to make meaning out of life and meaning out of what happens. They're saying, why did this happen? What's going on? What's going on in our world? They have no purpose and they have no meaning and they are lost. But this is the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? The Bible teaches us in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, for the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, is come and to seek who? That which was lost. When man sinned, and that purpose and that image of God was lost, God didn't just crumple the world up and throw it in the waste paper basket and say, let's start afresh. No. God came after that which was lost. And this is the good news. The wonderful gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love to be able to tell people of the good news of Jesus Christ. It is so good. The day Adam sinned, something died. Something died. And when we were born, when you were born into that sin. You were born in Adam and born into that sin. And that sin and all its consequences are yours. Spiritual death. You know, and you don't need me to tell you that we don't have to teach a child to sin. I was visiting someone not so long ago, and there was a little girl there and a little boy there. And the little girl was sitting, playing away, and her little brother walked past her. And as he walked past her, he just grabbed her by the hair and pulled her off the seat onto the ground and just merrily walked on his way. And I was thinking, well, at least I hope his father never taught him how to do that. Why did he do it? Because of that sin nature that is within us. Born in sin and shapen in iniquity. So what do we need? If we're here tonight and we're lost, what do we need? Well, very simply put, don't we? We need to be born again. Born again. Born out of that sin nature and into Jesus Christ, into all that God has for us. See, God created us in the image of God. But that image was lost through sin. But Jesus Christ came to redeem us. He came to bring us back onto Himself. To buy back what was lost. To bring us back to what we were created to be. And at what a price. What a price Jesus paid to buy you back, to bring you back into what you were created to be. The price of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The cross of Calvary. I've been pondering a little over the last couple of weeks. We're there in the book of Isaiah. The Bible teaches us that his face was more marred than the face of any man. Jesus physically suffered the hands of those Roman soldiers. But he also suffered as he took that sin of the world upon himself. He paid the price on the cross of Calvary. He shed his precious blood for you. And we say it so simply, don't we? For God so loved the world that God loves me, God loves you. But when we look at the cross, when we look at the price, when we look at what Jesus did, it's not a simple thing. It's a profound thing. It's an amazing thing that God loved me, God loved you so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die upon that cross. Jesus died for you. Book of Proverbs in chapter 4 and verse 12, it teaches us that there's a way that seems right unto a man. And many people are trying the path that seems right to them. They try many different things, career and business and materialism. They try even different religions. I was speaking to a lady a few weeks ago, and she was brought up in some form of a Christian background, and now she claimed to be a Buddhist. And I asked her, well, how does Buddhism deal with your problem of sin? And she had to admit that Buddhism had no answer to her problem of sin. And people are searching and looking for meaning in life. That verse goes on to say, but the end thereof is the way of death. Searching here, looking there, thinking if only I could be like this person, that person. I read with sadness just today of one of our the leading celebrities in the United Kingdom. Someone who's on your TV, if you watch it week in and week out. Someone that so many young people would say, if only I could have a career like them. If only I could have a life like them. And they've just been admitted into a rehab center for depression and alcohol and drug use. Someone that so many young people look at and idolize and say, if I had their life, that would be it. But they have their life and they find that it's empty. Because even the greatest success outside of the Lord Jesus Christ is empty at the end of the day. Even the greatest popularity is meaningless if someone does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. His end is the way of death. And Jesus tonight offers you not death, but life. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. To bring you back to what you were created to be. Conformed into the image of God. Now I look out on you tonight. And many of you, I know your faces, I know some of your names. But I look out at the young people, I look at these lovely young people in the choir, and I look at other young people that are hiding around in the congregation. And as I said, it doesn't seem like that long since I was sitting in a church just like this, just like you. But I look back at many of my friends, and they had the same privileges that you have, of being taught the Word of God in Sunday school, in youth meetings, in church. And yet many of them have messed up their lives. Many of them have ended up not in good places because they made a choice. And that choice was not to go and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, but to go that way that seems right unto a man. And tonight I'm trying to confront you afresh with a choice you have to make. Young people, older person tonight, with a choice you have to make. And a choice means a decision. And you have to decide, I am going to find my purpose and meaning in Jesus Christ and what God created me to be, or I am going to go and seek to find it in my own strength, in some other way, and drift aimlessly, without purpose, through life, and out into a lost eternity. Or you are going to enter into the fullness of salvation that God has for you. And that's your choice. If you come along to this church, it's a choice you're presented with again and again. And what is your decision going to be? Or are you going to say, well, I'm going to seek to work it out on my own? Or are you going to say, I'm going to enter in? But just as I seek to bring this little thought to close tonight, that's the issue I want to address. How do you enter in? How do you enter into the purposes and plan of God? How do you enter into God's so great salvation? I don't know whether you've ever played a game of chess or not. It's quite a while since I've played chess. But even if you've never played it, you know the rules, or maybe not all the rules, but you know how it goes. You have two people sitting either side of the board, and one person moves his piece, and then he waits. He's made his move, and then he waits for the other person to move their piece. When they've moved their piece, then the opponent moves their piece. Now, some games of chess can go on for an exceedingly long period of time, and if there's no time limit, it can even go on for years as someone thinks and ponders about the move that they have to make. Sometimes I think of the gospel a little like a game of chess. God made his move, first of all. We thought about that. He created you in the image of God. And he created you for a purpose. That was God's move. He made the first move. And then man made the second move. He disobeyed God and he sinned, and that image of God was lost. That was man's move. And then God made another move. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be the redeemer for your sin, to pay the price for your sin. God moved, man moved, God moved. And now tonight God says to you, it's your move. It's over to you. I have paid the price on the cross of Calvary for your redemption, that you might be brought back into the purposes and plan of God, that you might know what it is to be born again, to have your sins forgiven. I have done my move, but now it's your move. And what do you have to do? Well, first of all, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us that we need to repent. First chapter of Mark and verse 15, Jesus said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. Now, what does it mean to repent? Well, I use this illustration sometimes. It's not my illustration. It's the illustration of a preacher in America by the name of Francis Shan. And Francis Shan tells of how, as a young person, he had a girlfriend. But it wasn't a particularly serious relationship. But he had this girlfriend. But one night he was at a meeting, a little bit like this, and there was a choir singing at the front. And as he sat in that congregation, listening to the choir, but also looking at the choir, there was a girl in the choir caught his eye. She more than caught his eye. Because as he looked at that girl, he determined in his heart and he said, I'm going to marry that girl. Now, what did Francis Shan have to do? Well, the first thing he had to do was to break off that old relationship. He had to go to that girlfriend that he had and he had to say, look, I'm sorry, it's not working out, it's over. He had to break off the old relationship and put that into the past. And then he had to turn around and he had to begin to pursue that new relationship. And that's what he did. He broke off that old relationship. He began to pursue that new relationship. He got that girl. He married that girl. He's still married to that girl today. And when God says to you to repent, he says the old has to be broken off. The things that are sinful, the things that are not pleasing unto God, they have to be broken off and you turn away from them. And you begin to pursue this new relationship with God and follow after the things of God. Repent and believe the gospel. Here's the second thing we need to do. We need to believe. We know that verse so well in Acts 16. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe. That's a harder one at times to define. Because if I was to go into Ballymena tomorrow morning and to stop people on the street and say, do you believe that there was a man called Jesus? Probably quite a few of them would say yes. Is that all it takes to be saved? Just to say, yes, I believe there was a man called Jesus. No. I like this definition of believe. To be fully convinced. Fully convinced. I read this story and it really impacted me. It was a story of a student, and each student in this class were asked to present a talk, an argument before the class, and to present their argument before the class. And this particular student, he decided that he would do a talk on the law of the pendulum. And so he had prepared his talk, and he stood up in the lecture room before the class. The professor was there, and he gave his talk on the law of the pendulum. And he had a little pendulum, a little bit like this, but he had it clipped up onto a board. And he presented his argument, he chalked it up. He explained that the law of the pendulum states that when you release a pendulum, it doesn't come back to where it was released from, and it begins to make lower, smaller arcs each time until it comes to a place where it stops, when all the forces on it are equal and opposite. And he explained this in great detail, particularly how the pendulum could never come back to where it started and it would never rise back to that area again. And when he had finished his talk, he turned around to the class and he said, do you believe in the law of the pendulum? And well, they all said yes. And he turned to the professor and he said, sir, do you believe in the law of the pendulum? And the professor said yes. And he stood up because he thought that was it. The young man had made his case. He had presented his argument. He had convinced the class that it was true. But the student said, hold on, sir, I'm not finished yet. And he untied a strong rope that he had attached to the girder of the roof, a parachute cords. And he brought it down into the middle of the room. He had this measured out exactly. He tied onto the bottom of this strong cord a 250 kilogram weight. Over at the side of the wall, he had a table, and on that table was a chair. And he said, sir, could you kindly step up on the table and sit on the chair? And he had this measured out exactly, and he took the weight over right up to the professor's nose when the professor's head was tight against the wall. And he said to him, sir, can I ask you again, do you believe in the law of the pendulum? Now, picture the scene. Professor's head's here, weight's here. The pendulum law says it will never come back right up to his face again. The professor, just not as convinced this time, a little more shakingly, says, yes, I believe in the law of the pendulum. And so the student released the weight. It swung across the room towards the far side. And then it began to swing back again. And when it was about halfway back, the professor jumped off his chair and underneath the table. He believed it in his head, but he wasn't going to commit his life to it. Friends, tonight, this is what it means to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. It means to commit your life to it. To be fully convinced that in life and in death, it's Jesus Christ. No other name, no other way, nothing else. It's Jesus and Jesus only. Can I ask you tonight, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? He called you to enter into his purpose, called you to enter into his plan. Repent, believe, and there's this one other little point I want to make tonight. Who likes Galaxy? Does anybody want this Galaxy bar? Anybody want this Galaxy bar? Come and get it. Anybody want it? Come and get it. Surely there's somebody in this church that likes Galaxy Bar. Anybody want it? Come and get it. Thank you. Enjoy it. You'll have a lot of friends tonight. That's my last little point. Receive. Receive. And how do we receive? Well, we don't sit thinking, well, will he really give it to me? Is he trying to trick me? What's going on here? No. Bible teaches us very clearly in 1 John 1 and verse 12, but as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Can I ask you tonight, have you repented, believed, and received God's so great salvation? Not asking you, are you a member, or were you brought up in this church? Not asking you, do you know the story back to front? I'm asking you, have you entered into the fullness of what Jesus Christ died to provide for you? Are you being conformed into the image of his Son, into the image of God? Do you know your purpose? Do you know why you're here? Not just drifting aimlessly through life, but living for Jesus, a life that is true. Living according to his word, seeking to bring honor and glory unto him, to become like him, to love like him, to be like him. And one day, and what a day that will be, to go to be with him forever and ever and ever. He's a wonderful Savior. Wonderful Savior. Young people tonight, those of us that are a little bit older, and those that are a good bit older, we would commend to you our lovely Savior, Jesus Christ. The world will say, go this way. It will seem right, but it's the way of death. And Jesus says, come to me, and I will give you life, and life more abundantly. Let's just bow together in prayer. Wonder tonight, through this service, through other services, through many, many months and years, has God been speaking into your heart? Tonight you've been confronted afresh with the reality of the gospel message. Tonight you are being faced with a choice. God has made his move. Tonight it's your move. What are you going to do? Are you going to repent and believe and receive? Are you going to say, no, I'll seek to find my own way? The word of God is clear. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. We do thank God for each one of these young people who do know you as Lord and Savior. And each one of these dear people in this church that know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Maybe tonight you're not fully convinced yet. Maybe tonight you've never taken that step. And God is speaking to you. Don't put it off. Even as you sit here, even in your seat tonight, you can call out onto the name of God. You can seek to reach out to him. You can pray something like this, even as I pray it. My Lord and my God, I've lived my life my way. I've done many wrong things. I repent of all my sin. Please forgive me. Lord Jesus, I trust you now to be my Savior. Thank you for dying in my place. I ask you now for your gift of eternal life. I give my life to you and want you to be my Lord. Help me to live for you by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to turn to a hymn as we bring our meeting to a close. 334. 334. Pass me not, O gentle Saviour. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Saviour, Saviour, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. And if we call out unto him in repentance and faith, he will hear our cry and he will save our souls. 334, let's stand together as we sing in closing. Father God, I thank you that you did not leave us to go our own way, but you sent a Saviour, Jesus Christ. We thank you that he paid the price for our redemption on the cross of Calvary and that he rose triumphant from the grave. And he calls us tonight to make our move, to call out unto him. And Lord, I pray for this congregation, for young people here, for older people here, who have never entered into God's so great salvation, that even tonight, that they would call on the name of the Lord and be saved. We thank you for being with us tonight, Lord. We thank you for your speaking voice. Speak on, Lord. May your word find a resting place in good soil. We thank you for these young people, particularly those who are at the front tonight. We pray your blessing upon them, that you would keep them, that you would lead them, that you would guide them, that you would bless them, that you would meet their need, that you'd give them the courage to stand strong for you in a wicked and evil world, and that you would use them for your glory and for your honor, and that one day they would enter into your presence and hear that, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Thank you for leaders and those who work with them, Lord, that you'd bless them abundantly for their labors. For each one that's gathered in here tonight, we just pray the Father's blessing upon us, that you'd part us in your fear and in your favor. In Jesus' precious name we ask. Amen.